We're going to switch gears here and talk about a play that's getting great reviews. It's in its final week down at the Greenhouse Theater in Lincoln Park. You can get tickets for The Mushroom Cure at greenhousetheater.org. Adam Strauss is here. Adam's story, this story is a one-man show. His background, he's a stand-up comedian, but he's also a performer. And after a life lived with OCD and mental illness, he found himself looking for a cure. And of course, the name of the show is The Mushroom Cure, and it seems like and did he find it in mushrooms and psychedelics? And he's in studio right now. And to continue a conversation that John had on the show with Michael Pollan about psychedelics and it's how it's so misunderstood, but at the same time is being introduced to many more people for many different issues. Adam, great to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Justin.
So this idea obviously stems from your own life. It's an autobiographical show about your search for a cure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, you sort of summed it up a little earlier. I heard you in the green room where, so yeah, I'd been on all sorts of medications. I mean, every possible medication indicated for severe OCD. I'd seen literally dozens of therapists, specialists, psychiatrists, psychologists, and nothing was helping. And I tried, the whole sort of standard menu of alternative treatments, yoga, acupuncture, meditation, various herbs, and the OCD was just getting worse and worse. And so in desperation, I was Googling for the, a thousandth time OCD cures, and there was a new result, which was the first at that time study of psychedelics for OCD. And it was a small pilot study. It was just 9 subjects. They gave them various doses of psilocybin, which is the main active compound in psychedelic mushrooms.
People may be familiar with that word because it's getting tossed around in politics right now. But go ahead.
Yeah, it's certainly getting right. It was decriminalized in Denver recently. There are various clinical trials that are underway right now. I was not familiar with that term at that point. I really had no psychedelic experience, but I had the gift of desperation. So I figured, well, what do I have to lose by trying this stuff? And that's sort of the opening scene of the show is when I find that study and resolve to try to cure myself.
How, when we talk about OCD, and a lot of people listening will be like, okay, I may have OCD, or I may have a different strain, or just severity of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for you, how crippling was your OCD? I mean, this is the kind of thing where you couldn't make decisions, regular decisions that a lot of people can do in a snap.
Yeah, yeah. So OCD, it's interesting because I think the sort of stereotypical conception of it is it's, you check the stove a lot or you wash your hands. And certainly that is common with OCD, but there are a lot of other variants. It's a very crafty sort of disorder, and it assumes all these different forms, and it can, even in one person, it can morph from one form to another. My major symptom or manifestation was decision making. So you can think of it the same way someone with, say, hand washing. They'll have an unwanted thought. The thought may be, I'm contaminated. They'll try to alleviate that thought by engaging in a behavior, washing their hands. And it works. For a little bit, the anxiety often will go down, but then it creeps back up, so they engage in the behavior again and again and again. And over time, that behavior, that excessive washing, just causes even more anxiety because their life is falling apart because, they're spending 7 hours a day in the bathroom, etc. For me, it was decision-making. The unwanted thought was, I'm making the wrong decision, or I'm making a mistake, or I'm not doing it right. And the behavior that my brain sort of came up with was, well, change your decision. You've chosen A, you're feeling anxiety, why don't you try B? So I changed to B and I'd feel a little bit of relief, and I'd be like, well, wait, no, now I'm feeling anxiety again, let me go back to A. And it's ridiculous and, sort of hilarious in a way, but, it's often said life is about decisions. I would go a step further and say life actually is decisions. The act of being alive is just making a continuous stream of decisions.
That's absolutely true, right?
So yeah, if that breaks down, you asked how debilitating, it was completely paralyzing. It was hard to do anything, even the most basic functions, eating, bathing, going to work.
As a stand-up comedian and, getting on stage from thousands of people at different times, that obviously has its own anxiety to it. But approaching your life and telling your story in front of audiences to try and find the funny in it, was that hard? Is that hard to do at first for you to say, okay, I'm going to put myself and put this mental disorder out there for people to laugh at?
It wasn't that hard to find the humor in it because there was an awareness, maybe because, I was a stand-up and you kind of train your brain. It's almost this algorithm that's always running in the background. Where's the humor here? And I was aware of how ridiculous the condition is. I mean, I think in some ways, and maybe some people would object to this, but I think you can laugh at anything. I think in some ways, OCD is funnier than, say, depression. I mean, it is, there are people, it's incredibly debilitating and agonizing, and I know that agony firsthand. So I'm not minimizing that. But to the outside, seeing people engage in these just ridiculous, repetitive behaviors, there's something comedic about that. And I guess I had a realization that because OCD is such a heavy, dark thing. I mean, I think it's changing now, but I think even relatively recently, there was sort of a general idea that, you know, OCD isn't as severe as depression, whereas in fact, the prognosis for real OCD is in some ways worse than depression.
Or the idea, like you said, the stereotype of, oh, so he's got to wash his hands all the time.
Big deal. Yeah, just get out of the bathroom, man. Just so having lived through OCD, I knew that if I was going to talk about this stuff, I didn't want to hold anything back. I wanted to be totally open and raw about it. But I also knew that that's pretty heavy. That's pretty dark. So it's sort of the old, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And I look at the laughter as, yeah, it would be a bit of a slog without that. But I think when you're laughing intermittently, you know, the way I look at it is I'm pretty confident saying anyone who comes to the show will laugh. But we also get quite a few audience members who do cry during the show. And I think they cry because it resonates with their own struggle or their family members' struggles. And I depict it in a very unguarded way.
And that's obviously the key to theater. And that's why people are raving about the show and why you won at the New York Fringe Festival. And is because this kind of mental disorder is very relatable. Meaning a lot of people have it. And like I said, there's a different severe.
Right. It's a spectrum. Yeah,
spectrum. But the idea of talking about it, it still falls a little bit under that taboo, that idea that this is my problem and I don't want to share it and I don't want to feel like I have this disorder because I got to go. So you kind of secretly go to the bathroom if it's washing the hands kind of thing. But there is this closeted idea behind mental disorders like OCD.
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of shame. And I'm glad you brought that up because for me, one of the unanticipated benefits of doing the show is, you know, I didn't realize how much shame I had until the first time I did the show, you know, as often happens, well, your friends and family come. And a lot of them, I'd say most people had some awareness I had OCD, but very few. I would say no one really knew the extent of it. And it was terrifying, but also exhilarating, unburdening myself of that in front of these people who knew me. And because there is so much shame, because I think people with OCD are aware of how ridiculous and crazy this thing is. And that shame just, you know, it just adds to the burden.
In studio with me, Adam Strauss. He is the actor and stand-up comedian behind his own one-man show, The Mushroom Cure, which is playing at the Greenhouse Theater Center through Sunday. It's just this is the last week of it. Tickets are at greenhousetheater.org. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about the mushrooms, of course. I mean, this is
yeah.
the point of it. We set it up with the OCD, and we'll come back and we'll continue here on John Williams on 720 WGN. Adam Strauss is here. His show's called The Mushroom Cure. It's on stage till Sunday at the Greenhouse Theater. It was a big hit in New York. It was at the New York Fringe Festival. And The Mushroom Cure is about using psychedelic mushrooms to help counter Adam's OCD. It's a mental disorder that he had lived with his entire life and is searching for all sorts of remedies, whether it be the pharmaceutical kind or the alternative remedies, and hadn't found anything. And once you started to recognize, take us to the point where you recognized that maybe psychedelics, maybe mushrooms could be the key.
Yeah, so I found the study, as I mentioned, just Googling OCD cures, or as I say in the show, and it's actually true, I typed in OCD and Google auto-populated cures, because right, I right. Googled that, well, you could say obsessively. So when I found this study, you know, again, I didn't really have a little bit of experience in college, but not much. But there was a sense of, wow, I've tried everything else at this point, so what do I have to lose? And so you know, there weren't any ongoing clinical trials at that point for OCD. So I knew I was going to have to do this kind of on my own in an underground fashion. And then this is one of the great coincidences of my life. And the show, I should say, it is completely true. I mean, I don't even change the names of the other people in the show. Very soon after reading that study and kind of being like, all right, I want to do this, but I don't know how to go about it. I started dating this woman, sort of a long distance relationship. I actually met her at a comedy show in Times Square. She lived in Kansas. She was a psychologist, and I didn't learn this until it was maybe our second or third time hanging out, I actually asked her if she could get mushrooms. I figured she lived in a college town, sort of the natural sociological habitat of mushrooms, though they're ranging further into the mainstream now. And she revealed to me that she had inadvertently cured her own clinical depression with psychedelics. Mm. So a pretty remarkable coincidence, and I took that as sort of a green light from the universe.
What did you know about psychedelics at the time? Because there's a lot of stereotypes about that as well, but it is a drug, and it does alter your state, and some people like it, some people don't.
Yeah. So, I mean, I knew very little about it. I mean, I knew sort of the popular conceptions, you know, Grateful Dead, Fish, that sort of thing, right. The 60s, Tune In, Drop Out, all of that. But so I started, you know, being obsessive. I'd say a lot of people with OCD, we tend to be researchers. So I started going down that rabbit hole and really learning everything I could about this stuff and, you know, best practices. And of course, this was all an underground body of knowledge. But one of the beautiful things about the internet is there's a lot of that out there, a lot of these message boards. So I certainly had trepidation. And I think that's kind of part of the value of psychedelics for conditions like OCD. OCD is all about control. And taking a psychedelic, the very act of ingesting a psychedelic is an act of surrender. You're basically letting go of control. You're saying, I'm going to allow something else in, and I don't really know what's going to happen. So that was certainly threatening and scary.
Was it scary? I mean, did that concept for you with OCD to let go, to give control, was hard.
Absolutely. But I think for me, the only thing scarier than that was continuing to live the way I was living at that point in life, which was just, you know, it really wasn't a life at all. I mean, I was so just imprisoned by the disorder. I mean, you know, there was rarely an hour where it wasn't dominating my life, you know, and I, to some extent, I could keep up outward appearances, but that almost makes it more painful, you know? So I was really scared, but I really had tried everything else at that point. So ultimately it was kind of, well, what do I have to lose? Things aren't going to get worse.
So take us to that experience, and I'm sure it's in the show, but this idea that, you know, that you were out of control. Now, I don't mean out of control, like the way he's out of control.
But that does happen in the show. Once I take the mushrooms, I don't want to get into any spoilers. Right.
But what happens? What happens? What is the psychedelic, what impact does it have on you?
Well, so the first time I tried, nothing, which is actually fairly common. I was on very high dose SSRIs, these antidepressant, anti-anxiety medications that for many people actually block the effects of psychedelics. So I had to get off of my antidepressants in order to effectively use these medications. When I did, though, I mean, there were, the show is about 90 minutes long. If I were to include all the trips, it would be, you know, it would be an epic miniseries. There were a lot of experiences. Being obsessive and being, you know, driven, I kind of approached this sort of psychedelic task or journey in a somewhat obsessive way. I was going to do the right dose of the right drug in the right setting. And so there were quite a few trips, and most of them don't make it into the show. But the basic answer is what I found ultimately was, I was looking for, as the title implies, this cure, this sort of silver bullet that was just going to take away the OCD. And I should be very clear, I did not find that. I still have OCD. It's significantly less debilitating. It's not debilitating generally, but it still can flare up. So where psychedelics came into play is, I was, prior to doing psychedelics, I understood the idea that OCD, what makes it so sort of intractable, you kind of get trapped, is the harder you try to control it, the worse it gets. Yeah. So the way out of OCD is ultimately to surrender to the obsessions and the compulsive urges, which doesn't mean give in to them, but allow those unwanted thoughts, I'm making a mistake, I'm contaminated, is the stove on, let those thoughts be there without engaging in the action that you ordinarily would engage in to try to get rid of those thoughts, checking the stove, washing your hands, changing your decision. I understood that intellectually. That's all standard therapy. But acceptance is a tricky thing. I don't think understanding really does it. Acceptance to me, or surrender, it's not an intellectual exercise. It's more of a physical thing. It's really allowing it in. Or you can even say a spiritual thing, that leap of faith, that surrender.
And those are some of the tenets that are in yoga and other practices,
right,
of that,
yeah,
to let the body sort of be.
Absolutely. And I will say, not to get too off topic, once I had psychedelic experience, yoga and meditation became a lot more useful for me once I'd had that taste of surrender. And so, but it was, so I understood this from therapy. If I can surrender, if I can allow the obsessions to be there and just kind of sit with them, I'll be freed of the obligation to engage in these compulsive reversals that are destroying my life. But it was only on psychedelics that I actually had the visceral body experience of allowing those obsessions to be there and not fighting them. And once I had that experience on psychedelics, I gradually learned how to do that when I wasn't tripping.
Yeah. You know, did you see a way in which, when you were talking about mental disorders like OCD and how you can treat them with experimental, I don't, maybe not experimental is not the word, but maybe unconventional ways like psychedelics. Do you see a future in that? Do you see that more often the medical community and the scientific community and others will say there is a positive in this thing that we have completely vilified? We've vilified mushrooms are on the level of every other serious drug.
It's classed with heroin.
But do you see a moment where there may be a different way we classify psychedelics?
Yeah, and I think that moment is coming shockingly quickly. I mean, well, MDMA for PTSD is likely going to be approved by the FDA within a year or two. Psilocybin is probably only a few years behind. And I think the reason we're seeing this, you know, suddenly this polar shift in public opinion and medical opinion is, I think part of it is the fact that there's a recognition that the conventional psychiatric medications, you know, these, they were hailed as wonder drugs 30 years ago, Prozac, et cetera. Yeah. The reality is they absolutely do help some people significantly, but many people they don't help. With OCD, the best data we have shows that 50% of people don't respond to medications, and the half who do only see about a 25% symptom reduction. Right. So I think there's an understanding that we need better treatments, and the fact is there's really nothing in the pipeline from pharmaceutical companies in terms of novel therapeutic compounds. This is our best shot, and the data, I mean, we are, for better or for worse, we're a very data-driven society. And the data we're seeing from these clinical trials of psychedelics, they blow anything coming out of the pharmaceutical firms out of the water.
You got 1 week to see the show, The Mushroom Cure, which is playing at the Greenhouse Theater Center in Lincoln Park. Tickets at greenhousetheater.org. It's playing till Sunday. Adam Strauss is an actor. He's a stand-up comedian. It's his story about how he found psychedelics to help him with OCD. Adam, great to meet you. Great to have you in studio. And good luck with the last week of the show and your continued career.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me, Justin.